I'm Jamie Floyd, filling in for Brian Lehrer. Community college is getting more attention these days as a pathway to better jobs as we shift from a manufacturing to a service economy. Math classes present a particular challenge on many campuses where more than half the students have to take remedial math classes. WMYC's Beth Fertig followed one remedial algebra class at LaGuardia Community College in Queens to get a sense of why it's such a hurdle for the four-part series, Adding It Up. She joins me now, along with Professor Jorge Perez, who taught the class and was featured in the reports. Welcome to WMYC, Professor Perez, and welcome back to the show, Beth Fertig.
Thanks.
Beth, here's one of the students in your report talking about what led him back to college.
I remember I wanted to leave the job at one point because I wasn't getting paid enough, and my friend works at a bank, and he tells me what the requirements are. You need a high school diploma, GED. I'm like, okay, I'm lacking one thing important, and that's a GED. And most of the jobs right now, they do require GEDs.
And so from getting his GED, he is back in college. That's Victor Lopez in your Adding It Up series, part two. Was Victor's experience, Beth, typical of the students you met?
Yeah, a lot of them had graduated high school and worked for a while and then wanted to go back to college because they weren't making a lot of money. And this is pretty typical. If you have a high school degree, you're going to make a lot less than if you have a college degree. I have some statistics that those who complete associate degrees often earn between 20 and 30% more than individuals with just a high school degree, according to the Community College Research Center at Teachers College at Columbia University. And we hear this all the time that, you know, in this knowledge-based economy, as we call it, you're really not going to make very much if you don't have more than a high school diploma. Victor, in his case, he had dropped out of high school when he was 18, worked for a while at a video game store in Corona, and he wasn't making a lot of money, and he decided, you know, I'm looking for jobs, and they all require a high school degree, and I'll make even more if I go to college. So he went back and got his GED, and then he enrolled at LaGuardia Community College, but he didn't score high enough to take regular college-level math, which wasn't surprising since he had dropped out of high school. And then he found himself in Jorge Perez's class.
And so then I ask the obvious question, and it's one I've wanted to ask ever since I was a little kid. Why is math so hard?
Mathematics is not hard. Society make it hard. We discriminate, for example, against girls. We don't challenge girls with puzzles, with Legos. We give girls dolls to play with. We are not challenging them. So that's one aspect. The other one is that when you are in elementary school, the person who is teaching you mathematics is not the person who is well prepared to really present the material. Mathematics, I said in one of these segments that Beth presented, mathematics is a language. And as a language, it has a grammar and it has a syntax. And not everybody understands that. So when you go to school, the first thing that you try to do, and probably your teacher did the same, memorize solutions. So you try to identify how to solve one particular problem with all the other problems, but that doesn't work because what you really need is to understand how the concepts relate to each other and how those concepts will apply in a different sequence each time to a particular problem.
So it may be the way we teach math, the way we think about math, not the math itself. And you mentioned that girls have a particular difficulty with math, but it's not the girls, it's the way we teach them. And you raise an issue that has been talked about so much here in the United States, of course. Here is a clip from Patricia, another student, and she illustrates why Professor Perez has his work cut out for him.
And I still have to pass my other classes, which are more important for me because I'm getting credits for, and I'm majoring in them. So math for me, I don't care.
She says she doesn't care. So why should Patricia care, Professor Perez? Students always complain that they'll never need algebra again after high school. Why do they?
Well, in this particular case, Patricia is studying accounting, and she feels that accounting has nothing to do with mathematics. And besides that, accounting, all accounting courses give her credits. Remedial mathematics do not give credits. However, they have to pay a significant amount of money to take the class. So students resented beyond belief. Why do I have to take a course that I have to pay for? And on top of that, I'm not getting any credit, not recognition at all for the effort that I'm making. So in their mind, what they are trying to do is to really get to the degree, but giving their back completely to mathematics all along the way, which is certainly impossible to do.
Yeah, but they need the fundamentals, don't they?
Yeah, they need the reasoning that you get out of studying mathematics. All areas of knowledge are important, and one of those areas of knowledge is mathematics. We reason in mathematics in different ways as we reason if we are writing an article or a paper. It's a different way of thinking.
I'm Jamie Floyd. I'm filling in for Brian Lehrer. We can take a couple of calls for our guests. Let us know if you've used your algebra since high school. Call us at 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post a comment to the website, WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. Beth, your report said that 80% of LaGuardia students need remedial or developmental classes in math. Now, is that an indictment of the public schools at large?
It's complicated. You know, this is pretty typical of community colleges around the country. And what you find is most of their students need either developmental, is the term for remedial, math, reading, or writing, as you said. And math is the one most likely for them to need the help. Math is kind of a use it or lose it skill. So what you've got is the people who go to these community colleges, by and large, tend to have not been great students, or they would have gone to a four-year school right away, or they couldn't afford to go to a four-year school because they also are more likely to be low income. So they take time off to work. And then you've got this double whammy of if you didn't do great in high school, then you're required to take this assessment to see if you are ready for college-level math. And then you've been out of school for a while, so you're forgetting what math you knew. And it's really hard to place into the class. So then you've got the resentment factor that Professor Perez is talking about, where it's like, I'm ready to go to college. I'm here. I want to make more money. But you can't move on and take all the classes you need for your major until you complete this remedial class, which is not for credit. And so it is, you know, you could say it's an indictment of our public education system because almost all of the students that I met in his class had high school diplomas, but they didn't have what we call in New York State the Regents diploma, which means you get at least a 75 on your math Regents. And we're phasing that out now, and New York State is going to require all students pretty much to get the Regents, the more demanding diploma where you have to get a higher score on math. Maybe they will then be better prepared when they go to community colleges or wherever they go afterward. But it's, you know, we know from all the testing that's been done in New York State that even the State Board of Regents and the, you know, Chancellor of the Board of Regents are saying these tests are too easy. It's too easy to get a high school diploma because then your diploma is meaningless when you go to the community college.
We have Bob. This is a fascinating caller I want to take and get your comments both. Bob's in Westchester. Bob, you're on WNYC with Professor Perez and Beth Furtick.
Good morning. I've been a volunteer math tutor now for the last 10 years in the South Bronx and Yonkers school systems, and most recently in Westchester Community College. I have worked with approximately 500 individuals, and well fewer than 5% know their multiplication tables. Specifically at Westchester Community College, I worked with about 125 individuals on algebra, and if the equation was 3x equals 21, what's x? Right away they'd grab a calculator. They didn't know that 3 times over the 7 times tables. So I would end up kind of giving them some background in how to do their multiplication tables. No. Once the administration of that department, the math department, heard I was teaching the kids, the adults, the multiplication tables, I was asked to leave the program because I was not teaching them algebra. So it's a vicious cycle, catch-22. They don't learn the multiplication tables. I've told the kids, I don't care if you take algebra, geometry, trigonometry, unless you're going to be a professional, you'll never really need to use those subjects in life. But the multiplication tables you'll use every day of your life, from what's it costing you to buy a gallon of gas, how many miles per gallon do you get, what's the price of a gallon of food in the store, Bob, you know, it's three for a dollar better than four for $2.
Bob, correct my math, but if I'm wrong, but is that 5 out of 20 adults?
That's 5%. I have tutored approximately 500 individuals. Uh-huh. Of the 500, well less than 5%.
Do not
have known their multiplication tables. They all know the 2 times table and the 10 times table
and the 5 times table.
And the 5. But you go to 6 or 7 or 9 or 11, and it they don't know what they're doing. And they go right away to the fingers, or they go to a calculator, or they just kind of get very embarrassed. But my point to them is, if you know your multiplication tables, you can use it every day of your life to the day you die.
It's rather astounding to me, and Beth, this comes. I'm sure you agree that we need to know our multiplication tables.
Yep.
Certainly, we all agreed that you probably need your algebra as well. But you know, Beth, you had a couple of sample problems in the news blog, and I'm going to admit here on WNYC that they stumped me. Now, did you get any math anxiety when you sat in on Professor Perez's class?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I mean, it is quite something. I don't know if it's a psychological because of the way we approach math as girls, as women, or if it's the way we teach math.
But
or
you've
if
also
it's the
forgotten
fundamentals
it.
Of elementary school, or if that we simply don't use it as adults.
Well, yeah, you know, I'm not, you know, we don't need to reveal our ages, but in my
case,
you know, you and I presume that, like me, you've been out of high school for quite some time, and you're not going to be using, you know, rationalizing denominators and polynomial equations in your daily life. And so when you look at, you know, the sample test, we have two, and I should advertise this for our listeners, because I want you to take the test to see if you still feel like
math of fun is, to go there and take the test.
Yeah, because at least to see, like, oh, my God, I used to know this and now I don't.
It looked very simple at first.
Yeah.
And then when you sat down to actually apply what you thought you remembered.
We have a short quiz on the website, which I just tried it a few minutes ago and it wasn't working great. So it should be working pretty soon, where you can take 3 sample algebra questions and see how you do. And they involve they're just either algebraic equations. And then there's a sample test where you can take 30 questions, which is produced by ACT, the test-making company. And it's not the same as the assessment you would need to get into CUNY, but it gives you a flavor of what that would be like. And when I took that test, I got a 64%. And so I wrote to ACT, the test makers, and said, look, I know it's not the, you know, perfect equivalent of what you give to the students going to CUNY, but tell me, would I have needed to take remedial algebra based on this score? And they said, yeah. So, you know, I have a little blog item on that on the website, but it's definitely a use it or lose it thing. Hmm. So I think that's going to be the reason you and I don't do well. I'm presuming that we did better when we were in high school. And if you're like me and went to a 4-year college, you did so right after high school. And so, you know, you were prepared for college. But as I said before, these students have taken some time off and they were never great to begin with. And part of that, as Professor Perez is saying, it goes back to the high school experience, because even before high school, we know that a lot of elementary teachers are not math experts. They don't usually, you know, they weren't usually math majors in college. So they're doing a class that they never really liked, and they're having to teach their kids. And then as you move on, it's hard getting credentialed specialized teachers in the math and sciences, because the people who are good at that are going to go on to some more lucrative profession.
Or teach at the college level.
Right.
Well, oddly, I think it's fair to say oddly, Amber in Chatham has used her algebra, haven't you? Amber?
Yes, I did. Yes.
I can't wait to hear this. How and why?
I used it yesterday in the middle of Staples. I was looking for a box to ship something to fit an item that was 24 inches long, and the box options were 12 by 18 or 18 by 21, neither of them long enough. So I thought, maybe I can fit it diagonally. I didn't have anything to measure, so I used A squared plus B squared equals C squared to figure out that the 18 by 21 was the one to go with.
And when you got home, had you selected the right box?
Yes, I had. And had I bought the other one, I would have been back in the store.
And do you use it often?
No. I mean, I guess not on everyday life, I would say, but certainly there are situations where, you know, I'm trying to figure out, I don't know, how much something weighs, or there are often times where I try to figure out, you know, what the percentage of something is. So you have to figure out the other number, dividing, you know, bringing over the fraction to the other side, that kind of stuff. But I don't A squared plus B squared equals C squared. That was kind of the first time in a while I had thought about that. It kind of popped into my head.
Were you a math major?
I actually was.
I don't know if that's fair. You should have come out with that up front. Well, Professor Perez is very proud of you. Tony writes in on chat that not only do I use my algebra, but I use my trig as well. But then he admits he works on Broadway shows, so he obviously is doing set design or something that encourages him to use his math every day. Professor, I guess there are everyday applications, but in remedial math, we're trying to get back to the fundamentals that we may have missed. And it sounds to me that you believe that if we approach math from the early years as a building block approach, so that we don't have to go back in the later years, that might be a more successful approach, that we are perhaps going about it all wrong, and we should never really need remedial math, that this is obviously a good thing that we can offer this, but in an ideal world, we would build one brick at a time in our educational system.
Yep. Unfortunately, what Bob says is the reality. Students come to class not knowing the multiplication tables. So I think the at the base of this issue is the concept that we have that we are teaching. Actually, it's very difficult for me, if not impossible, to cause anybody to learn. So I think it's important that we as teachers, politicians, and everybody understand that we need to work on the motivation of the students. It's the motivation of the students that is going to make the whole difference. So one of the reasons students like to be in my class is because, at the difference of Bob, I have tenure, so I can do whatever I want in my classroom, so nobody's going to fire me. But the results are there, because how can I fool myself, fool the system, fool everybody by pretending that I'm teaching when my students are not really ready to go? So I spend normally 3 weeks out of the 12 weeks giving them the basis. I forget, and normally do this. I move my hand throughout the classroom, and I said, after my hands move completely, all of you will have forgotten everything that you know from before, because we are going to start from zero.
So erasing their memory.
Erase the memory, because I'm going to write in a tabula rasa. Mm. It has to be done in a way that the students will really learn. So in my class, my role is to facilitate that learning, not making it more complicated.
Terrific. So, terrific. I may come in. I may come in. I lost 2 years.
Well, you're welcome.
I lost 2 years of math training when I was young, but that's another story. But I think the building blocks were lost, and it's very, very difficult to go back and build on top of lost 2 years of education. I want to take Cindy because she's on the Lower East Side, my old neighborhood, so I have an affection already for Cindy. Cindy, you use math all the time, so our bond is on the neighborhood front, but not so much on the math front. How do you use your math all the time?
Well, I'm using math all the time in my personal life, in that I do a lot of knitting and cooking, and especially in baking. When you're trying to convert formulas rather than a recipe, if you need to look at yarns and the weight of a yarn and you want a different weight and how much you're going to need. So I'm constantly using it just in those, you know, side things in my life. But I also work in schools, and I'm a former English teacher. But I work with math teachers to move mathematics instruction away from rote memorization to mathematical thinking.
Mm.
And it's a struggle with math teachers to do that.
Yeah,
because most math teachers haven't been taught in that way. They may have been good in math, but they weren't taught that way either.
Well, this is,
and it's a different notion.
This is something that community colleges are trying to deal with now, is making math more relevant and using examples like what you're talking about. And I know that it's still a new field. It's called contextualization. Professor Powers will tell me he's been teaching a long time, so he's heard all the trends in education, and maybe it isn't so new after all. But what I do know is that what they're doing is students at community colleges these days are more likely when they get to college-level math to be taking statistics than they were years ago. So, you know, they're trying to use classes that are, you know, equally rigorous about math because, you know, the academics believe you do need a foundation in math. But instead of the traditional algebra to calculus route, they're looking, and LaGuardia is doing its own study of this, they're looking at how to introduce other subjects like health, biology, into the math so that the students feel like it's not so cut off. So I asked the conference board of the mathematical sciences, which tracks this stuff, and they said, just as an interesting example, in 1980, statistics accounted for 3% of pre-college math class, or of college math classes, and by 1995, or no, rather, sorry, by 2005, it had gone up to 9% or 7%. So statistics has doubled in the past 25 years or so as a college math class, and calculus has gone down precipitously. So I think what they're going to be doing is trying more and more to do this stuff, but you know, we don't know how well it works. It seems to work better in the college-level math classes than the remedial classes because, you know, again, as we're hearing, the students don't have the base for that. But I saw you often in your class, Professor Perez, saying to people, well, you know, if you don't think you're going to use this, you're going to need it when you get a credit card or you deal with your mortgage. And, you know, that seems to be a block of a lot of students don't feel like they're going to need it.
And that's certainly been the message today from our callers who seem to use math on a regular and daily basis. Well, we have to leave it there. I'm Jamie Floyd. I'm in for Brian Lehrer. I've been speaking with WNYC reporter Beth Fertig. Thank you so much for this wonderful series and for your fine reporting, Beth.
Sure.
And mathematics professor Jorge Perez, who may see me there in his class. You'll see
wonderful.
My familiar
welcome.
Face there.
And take the test online.
I'll have to take it again from LaGuardia Community College. Thank you both for being
with us. Thank you for inviting me.
And up next, public holiday markets. We'll be right back.